Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Today I'm here with a dear friend and someone who I am very honored to know and feature on this show. Her name is Bridget Falk. She's a teacher at Norwin High School. She's also the choir director there. And she's been on a streak over the last year of winning awards. And every time I open up my Facebook page, I see another one. And this time it's the Jefferson Award for Service. This award is a national award that's been honoring people who serve communities through service over the last 50 years. Congratulations, Bridget, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jen.
This is wonderful. So let's start from the beginning. Let's start about your love of music and growing up in music, which I think eventually led to your connections with kids, the community, and everything that you do now. So take us back from the beginning, where you grew up and how you fell in love with music.
Yeah, so my connection with service is actually music. Some of my favorite early childhood memories is my grandfather taking me to nursing homes to visit his friends. And there I would take my latest masterpiece that I was working on with the piano and play for them. And they would sit and they would applaud my simple piano music on the piano. And it was just like this introduction to just giving back through music that I had from this really young age. And I can remember just the feeling of wanting to go back again. You know, it's always if it's out of your comfort zone to do service or to give back to people, and then you have that experience, the more you do something, the more likely you are to continue to give back. And that's what I try to pass on to my students. If you can experience something, then you're more likely to do it again on your own. If we can assist in that, you know, early stage. But yeah, I just always remember you cantering at church, playing the piano for friends and loved ones. And it just was a really good way. It always made me feel good about giving back.
Oh, I mean, but you played, you know, that's a simplified version. I mean, you say your simple piano songs, but you went on, you know, you had a very,
yes,
very extensive, yes, musical intensive, I think, even with your education. So why don't you take us through, you know, what happened in high school and college and how that music became a career?
Yeah, so I went to Greensburg Central Catholic, where I participated in a lot of music. I also was a cheerleader there, so I loved being part of their athletic program, and I just always felt warm about singing. It was something that my grandfather and I really connected on was music, and he was like the best person on the planet. I loved him so much. So he actually was my not only my mentor for piano, but he also sponsored all of my piano lessons. He always would say that he didn't want my mom to take any credit for my musical ability. So he would pay for all of my lessons. And I eventually went on to take lessons at Seton Hill University. I believe it was college then, when I was in high school, and studied with a local piano teacher. And she was just amazing. She really took what I knew to the next level. She focused on music theory with me, really creating music. And then I went on to St. Mary's College, where I had, in high school, just taking another step back, I had this opportunity. So way back when cell phones were very simple, they were also very important. And I told my mom, I said, "Mom, I really want a cell phone." I was a sophomore in high school. And she said, "Oh, you can have a cell phone." And then she paused and I was so excited. And she's like, "But you have to pay for it." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And so she said to me, she's like, "You're going to have to get a job." So I ended up opening a piano studio in my house when I was a sophomore in high school.
After
church, and I actually put out the ad in our church bulletin because my mom was like, "I want to make sure it's families that, you know, we know, we trust." So we put in this ad in the St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church bulletin, and lo and behold, I was able to gather 10 beginning piano students who would come into my house every Sunday After church, I'd have a few hours of lessons planned, and I started all of them on piano. And when I was a senior in high school about to leave for college, I was actually viewing this more as like a business, like running my own business. So I had initially wanted to major in business at St. Mary's. But then I had this final piano recital actually in my pap's basement with the 10 students. And my one student, Ryan, was really special to me. He was autistic, and I had taught him to piano by color. And it was just something that I never thought he would be able to or want to get up in front of people and play. So at our final recital, it was my only recital as well, but in my past basement, and he played, it was Mr. Frog was the name of the song. And he got up and I told him that after you play, you bow. And so he got up and he started bowing, and people kept clapping. So he kept bowing.
I love it.
And in that moment, I just said, I have to be a music teacher. It was like that specific moment. I can actually still picture it. And I called St. Mary's, and when I showed up at St. Mary's, they were like, wait, we don't have you on like the list to be a music major. I'm like, well, I'm here and I'm going to do it. And, you know, and of course it all worked out. And at St. Mary's, I had so many opportunities. And I'm talking about the St. Mary's out at Notre Dame in Indiana. I know there's a lot of St. Mary's colleges around, but my mom and my sister also went there. So it was really special to be part of that. And at St. Mary's, I started a pop a cappella group called Bella Cappella, and in my sophomore year. And that's actually a legacy I left. They still perform at tailgates and around campus, both at St. Mary's and Notre Dame. So it's really fun when I go back.
Was that the inspiration for the movies, the Bellas from?
You know what? It must have been, because I remember when that came out, the pop a cappella trend was very big in colleges. So it was really, and it was so fun. And I also was able to conduct the women's choir, perform in Carnegie Hall with St. Mary's. And I landed a wonderful job originally in Cincinnati and then eventually back here in Pittsburgh.
So you started in Cincinnati then?
Yeah. So after I graduated college, I still wasn't quite ready to come home. And so I had some friends moving to Cincinnati, and I applied everywhere and anywhere that would take an application, and got a wonderful job at Mason Middle School outside of Cincinnati. And it was a great start. I was actually a team teacher with a colleague that was just fabulous and one of my greatest teachers I've had to date. I learned so much from her. And then I got married. And after I got married, my husband was going to start his PhD at the University of Pittsburgh. So we decided to move home. And it was a great decision because the job opened up at Norwin, and you know, that rest is history, I guess.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, that's a big job at Norwin and probably required some experience, which fortunately you had because of the first job that you took, which was great. And so then you get to Norwin, and now you're working, you're living the dream, right? This is what you wanted to do. This is what you wanted to be. Tell us about the innovations you made to the Norwin program.
Yeah, so I inherited a huge program from Cheryl Walter, who still lives in the community and works in the community. She actually runs a little travel business now. But I inherited a very large service project. And the main piece of the service project had to do with the women and the children at the Hearth Shelter, which is a shelter out in Pittsburgh. And I remember stepping into meeting the students in one of my first kind of experiences with the students and the parents. And I could tell you it was, you know, something where the students weren't very happy because I wasn't Mrs. Walter, right? And there was just like, I was not that person. And one of the first questions they asked me was, you know, well, what about Hearth? What are you going to do about Hearth? And I remember thinking, I don't even know what word you're saying. Like, are you saying heart? Are you saying hearth? Like, what is hearth? Like, I had never even heard about this. And, but it was also to me coming in, I was like, this is something that's really important to these kids. If this is the first thing you're going to ask me about, like, this is something really important to you. They weren't asking about what music I was going to be doing. They weren't asking about, you know, my classroom procedures. They were only worried about this one little piece. So knowing that it was really important to those students, I just kind of created and learned more about the program. I collaborated with Cheryl, especially in my first few years, to really try to take in everything that she had done and understand. And then over time, I've also made it my own. But in those first years, Cheryl started a nonprofit foundation called the Expressions and Harmony Foundation, which kind of houses our money that we raise for Hearth. And I currently sit on the board of that foundation. And it's a bunch of, you know, local people that just really want to give back. They want to see youth get involved, and it's really important to them. But over this past year, we tried to take this to the next level. So we've been looking for different projects to sponsor as the foundation, and nothing kind of felt right. We kept like throwing out other nonprofits, and just as a board, we weren't able to get all together until we came up with this idea to start what we call Norwin in Action. And the Norwin in Action Fund was created last fall, and it was created to fund students in need in our district. So taking, you know, what we do at Hearth, and Hearth is out of our community, and our community has sponsored that, and we will always have Hearth as part of our heart and our project, but to expand it into those at Norwin in need. And we piloted the program originally at Sheridan Terrace School. It's a Title IX school. It's a small, you know, it's our the economic impact there, we needed some help. So, and the principal at Sheridan Terrace is also a Show Choir alumni. Oh, so we thought, well, you know, right? Yeah, taking him and since he knew the project and saying, okay, here's some money, let's see what these grants can look like for these kids. But then a few weeks later, I got a call from the high school dean of students. And she said, you know, we're really in need for money for Thanksgiving dinners, for families that can't afford it in our community. Is there anything you can do? So we started then the Norwin in Action program at the high school as well. So we had it running at two buildings last year. We're working to get it up and running at all of the Norwin buildings for next year. And over the past year, it went to buy Christmas meals and Thanksgiving meals for families. We bought coats and boots, school supplies. I'm trying to remember this, funded some field trips. Students couldn't afford field trips. Cap and gowns for some seniors that weren't able to afford it. I'm trying to think. There was a long list of just little grants that we were able to give throughout the year to really make an impact on a small level to students right here in our community.
Well, that's a big level for a lot of kids who can't afford to go on a field trip. I mean, that's heart-wrenching, I'm sure, when you're hearing these stories. So how's the infrastructure work? So you have a board, and then is there an application process, or do teachers alert you when they become aware of a situation, or how does that happen?
Yeah, so definitely it's a work in progress. Last year when we piloted the program, had more of like a spreadsheet kind of analysis of what was coming in, what was going out. Sorry, Max. So we had a spreadsheet analysis of what was coming in, what was going out for all of that. And
so you had the spreadsheet, as you said.
Yeah, so it's a work in progress. We don't have all of the infrastructure quite worked out yet, because we're collaborating with some administrators this summer. We also want to make sure that this works best for our district, the teachers helping us, and our families. So we want to make sure that it's a feasible process for everyone. So what we're proposing is definitely more of like a Google form, where the teacher, because the teachers are kind of the boots they're on the ground.
Yeah, they're in the know, yeah, for sure.
They're in the know. And then that goes to the guidance counselors, you know, so something where the guidance counselors would say, like, yes, this family, you know, we've experienced need in the past, or we know that and understand that there would be a need now. And then the principal also would follow up and say, you know, we approve that this grant can be given to this child or this family on whatever level. And then we'd still keep some sort of, you know, documentation on what the money's going towards, just for data collection. But yeah, so we're still working on like what's the best way to continue to fund this. And that's where the administrators and some of our financial, you know, liaisons are going to help us get this started at all the buildings. But since it's becoming bigger, we also have some trial and error, I'm sure. Yeah,
absolutely. But I mean, it's wonderful that you're able to do that. And so you fundraise around that. You put the kids to work and they fundraise around that.
Yeah. So this year was our largest fundraising year we've ever had. This is what I attribute it to in reflection. Pre-COVID, we were all about, you know, what we were doing face-to-face with families, community members. A lot of it is, you know, our December month of caroling, of going, when every show we go to, if we get a donation, we put it directly into the foundation as the show choir. And so we had that piece. And then during COVID, we had to switch everything over to be virtual. So we created an online campaign for crowdsourcing fundraising. And this past year was really the first year that we combined both of those fundraising efforts together. But we raised over $22,000 this year for the foundation and for Norwin in Action, for the Hearth Shelter. The students applied for some grants along the way. We had some donations for Norwin in Action from our class officers at Norwin that did some fundraising, and they were looking where to give back. And so they want to be part of this program. So we've really, I think we have a lot going for us now with the campaigns we can do both online and in person to continue with good fundraising.
That's wonderful. So this, all of this work with the shelter, with Norwin in Action, it starts to get traction and you start to get some attention, right? So then you get the call about your first award that you got last year. So why don't you tell us the progression of then to the second award? So how does that?
Yes. So I was humbled and surprised. I got a call last year that one of my former students, Liz, had nominated me for a Changemaker Award. And you know, of course, I initially read about this. I'm like, I don't know, like, do I even like qualify for this? Like, I was reading about some of the people that have gotten in and just feeling really honored. But I went through the interview process, and that's where, you know, eventually I was given and granted that award. It was awesome. And then part of that is the opportunity to continue with the process through Multiplying Good, which is a national foundation. With Multiplying Good, it's all about, you know, your ripple effect. You know, everything you do creates something better for someone else if we can all give back. And then this extension to our youth, you know, can we teach our youth and our communities to continue to give back so that when they get older, they want to continue to give back, right? So to get the Jefferson Award, then it was a road where we had several lectures and meetings, and you had to have so many hours of FaceTime with students in the community, so much service time within that project, and fundraising $2,500 for Students in Action, which is the branch of Multiplying Good, which is just really focused on the youth. So I went to a bunch of different gatherings, lunch and learns with my other peers and now cohort of Changemakers and now Jefferson Award winners. I think we started with about 16 or 17 of us, and 12 of us ended up getting the Jefferson Award.
Wow.
And yeah, and it was really, I mean, and to see the networking now that I even know these other really awesome people in our community that are giving back. We have ideas to bring some of my cohort colleagues into Norwin to help us with, you know, our mission of empowerment for our youth, because I now know different people in our community that that can help me with our project or help my students with their goals. And that was pretty cool. So, and you know, at the final award ceremony after all of this, it was really, really awesome. You know, it's one of those things like, you know, I don't do this to get recognized, and I don't do this for an award. I mean, that's definitely not the purpose, but I think that that is the idea of this is because, you know, Multiplying Good understands that like sometimes recognition does matter in the sense of like, you know, we need to recognize and appreciate, you know, people that are giving back. So I was really humbled to get that. And it was fun. My parents were there. My kids came and, you know, it's not every day they get to see mom getting an award, you know, it's because so much is behind the scenes. So it was awesome.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Our guest today is Bridget Folk. She's now an award-winning choir director at Norwin High School. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with Norwin High School's choir director and a dear friend of mine, Bridget Folk. And as I was saying earlier in the show, she just continues to wow me. Every time I open up Facebook, I see that she's won another award, first the Changemaker Award, and then went on for a national award, the Jefferson Award. You know, this is a very prestigious honor. We're talking about national honorees, including Barbara Bush, Oprah Winfrey, Peyton Manning, Sonia Sotomayor, many others. So this has to be a huge honor for you. And I think probably what makes you the most happy is maybe that your kids are able to see this. So tell us about your family, and do the kids get it? Do they understand what's happening and what mom's working on?
I think they do on some level. I mean, they come to a lot of the service events with me, because a lot that I do is for, you know, giving back and service through my students for young kids in need, especially the homeless at Hearth. And so my kids love to tag along to those events. I don't think that they view it as a service per se, because they have so much fun going to those events. But I do think service can be fun. I think that that is absolutely part of it. And I think over time, they'll learn and experience that. But yeah, to have them just there while I got the award, and to be part of that process, it was pretty cool, because I think it is something that I would love for them to think about for themselves, to continue to give back, to put service at the center of themselves, you know, to always be willing to say yes if a neighbor is in need or a community is in need, on whatever level that is. You know, I want them to inherit that for sure.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm sure they're watching and they're seeing, and I know you're hands-on with them, and then you make them be hands-on. So I can't wait until I'm interviewing them on the show about all the awards they won for everything that you're doing. Three beautiful children that you have, what, they're all under 10.
10.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not that you're not busy at all, are you?
No, no,
no, no, not at all.
Of course not.
But you keep going and you keep doing all of this, and you continue to inspire a passion of not only volunteerism, but music in your students and your own children. So are you seeing any of your, let's see, you've been teaching at Norwin, I'm sorry, how long?
13 years.
So are you seeing any of those kids go on to study music further in college and beyond?
I would say not as many studying music, but what I'm most proud of is I have a lot of students go on to do service, and they'll reach out, they'll send me pictures of service they're doing all over the world. I have a student down in Texas that's working for different communities and underprivileged people down there. I always remember her as always wanting to learn Spanish when she was with me, and she was always speaking Spanish, and it was just like she loved the language. And so now she's down working with Spanish speaking families that need support. And so I just love that story. Obviously, Liz, the student that nominated me, she's very into service. She's continued to give back. She also worked for Multiplying Good for a little bit. And I just love that a lot of my students continue that path of service. I don't have many that have gone into music over my tenure, but again, I think that they're doing what they're passionate about and then bringing service to that passion. And that's, I think that's even more important than music.
So you were a teacher for about a decade when COVID hit, and then everything you knew about educating kids changed. And so you've weathered that. You feel like that's gone. But what have you learned from COVID that's helped you in your career?
It's a really good question. I think I've definitely learned to relax and to be a little bit more flexible. I think within, you know, my first stretch at Norwin up until COVID, it was just very go, 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 busy, busy, busy. I'm so focused on just the product and like exactly what was happening, you know, in that day to day. And COVID really just taught me to like take a step back, you know, it reminded me, you know, that everybody has their own cross they're bearing. And like, see, if you can get to know more about the kids and yeah, maybe the product will be there. Maybe it'll be a little less than you wanted it to be. But at the end of the day, it's really about community because we missed that during COVID. And music is so important at bringing people together. You know, I see the people at concerts. I see my students now standing together on stage. I just appreciate it a little bit more because, you know, during that time, it's like the music stopped, you know? I wasn't able to sing with the kids. I wasn't able to have a concert with the kids. Choreography ended for that period of time. I wasn't able to see their smiles and their faces because of the masks. And I'm not, you know, judging that those decisions, you know, those were community health decisions that, you know, of course I supported, but having it now and being able to see their faces, being able to hear the music, it rings a little differently. It rings a little differently.
And don't you feel like you appreciate it so much more?
Absolutely. And I think I, you know, I listen better now. I think I listen a little bit better because, you know, so often do I hear, you know, I'll hear the wrong notes, but it's not just that kind of listening. It's really just listening to the kids in general, you know, and their needs. You know, this post-COVID high school student is under a lot of stress and there's a lot going on. And each kid is so different, challenged in so many different ways. And every challenge is significant. So yeah, it reminds me to slow down, to listen, not only to the music, but kids. And so I'm grateful for that, for sure.
Bridget Falk, she's the choir director at Norwin Senior High School in North Huntingdon Township. She's also a Changemaker Award winner, a Jefferson Award winner for service. And we're honored to have you on the show. You're just a beautiful person. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Jen, for having me. I appreciate it.
If you have any ideas for a guest on our show, please contact WHJB. We love to talk to community change makers just like Bridget. So send us your ideas. Thanks for listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.